about. Some still never heard it. Or you still have the question, could I explain to you what real Christianity is? A lot of people, they have secondhand understanding of Christianity, and it's not really what the gospel is. So we're just happy to be here with you this morning. We're going to read from Romans 10, 14, and 15. If you have your Bible with you, if you want to look it up, I don't think they have it printed up there. But if you have your Bible, and sometimes in places, people would ask Ethan, why do you carry your Bible? Because Pastor Mike always says, how many brought their Bible? You can use your phone. You can use your phone, but we know when you're on Facebook and when you're using the Bible. I'll just let you know that. There is a big difference in what your face looks like and what your hand is doing. Okay, if you would, why don't we stand to hear this word, if you can, on Romans 10, 14, 15. Oh, they're going to give it to you, but, you know, you can't take that home when you go home. That's not there. Okay, let's see if we got the same translation. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, touch our hearts today from your word, that we may be your witnesses going out into the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I've been reading actually in 1 Peter. You know, in 1 Peter, what a wonderful place. It says this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This morning I was just reading, where was it? The other side. But in your hearts, set aside Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks of you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Gentleness and respect. Okay, extra scriptures. Thanks be to God. So they may hear. This is, today, this when I come this morning, this is really kind of our testimony. This is our life. How do you summarize 35 years of life? That people might hear our testimony. You know, why do you go and stop and help somebody? Why would you do something for somebody along the road? You see somebody, they have a need. You see someone that's hurt. You see someone that's troubled. You see danger out there, and you want to do something. Okay? You see it. We see this all around us. And the heart is moved to action. You don't want them to be hurt. You don't want them to be troubled. You don't want them to be bothered. In Taiwan, we talk a lot about peace. It's all peace. If you want to start with the gospel, it's peace. And you want them to have that peace. You want their lifestyle to improve. You want them to be rescued. We know the stories. You got all these gospel stories. In order to be nice to my sister, my wife, who's hearing all these all the time, you know, I was using the Good Samaritan, but any time you see Jesus stopping to help somebody, that's what he's doing. He calls out to blind Bartimaeus, come here, come here. He goes, hey, he's calling you. Why? Because he wants to help him. You have the lady that was healed by touching his garment, and he knew it. He knew it. And why did he allow it? Because he wanted to help her. You see things and you want to do things for people. When we're helping people, we know it can be dangerous. We know you're not going to get credit. We know that it's nothing that's coming back to you. We talk about pay it forward, and hopefully people will pay it forward to us. But that's not why we do it. We just want to see their life to be different. We want to see them receive what they have not yet received. And when you think of these things, this is what Jesus wants to do. You know, we want to help people to have a good life, a better life, a healthy life. But even more so, we want them to know the Heavenly Father. We want them to know the Savior. We want them to understand that their sins can be washed away. We need a relationship with God, a new relationship. They need the eternal, because this is the eternal soul. If there's anything that just drove me on through the world, in the world, and still does, is these are all souls out there. They're not numbers and statistics. They're people with names and faces. I know them. And they have eternal souls that God wants to save. It's the greater need that's out there. So, in the scripture today, we go, well, why aren't they saved then? I knew a lady up in the hills, and we shared in her house the first time. Actually, it was all the older people that were with me. I just sang a few songs, and then I sat back. And when she was done, she said, I have never heard this before. Why? If it's available, why haven't people heard it? And truly, it's all prepared. Jesus did this on the cross, and in his resurrection, he prepared it all. And the problem is people don't know the gospel, and they don't understand the gospel. And the gospel gets twisted. If you read Jeff Sandus' book, my friend who passed away a few years ago, Say Grace, Say Grace. He said, we make grace not grace. We have made grace ungrace. Okay, you got to read the book. Okay, I'll give a pitch. It's good for it. Okay, grace. People don't know it. They don't understand it. They say, how can they believe? You know, they don't understand the value of God's love. And truly, grace is foreign. Grace is just not fair. Okay, it means you are a sinner, and I am a sinner, and God says, I will forgive you. And he does, and we go, that's not fair. No, grace is not fair. You want fair, then I am in big trouble. Because fairness means God says, those things that you did, I have to punish. But grace says, I want to forgive you. So people, the problem is, they don't understand it. So people, they remain in darkness. The eyes of the soul can't see it. Truly, their earlier habits are holding them back. What they have been taught, what they have learned through the generation, one generation to another, one generation teaching the next generation. And it's the result that Paul says in Ephesians 2:12, they are without hope and without God. I had a friend, and he would look. He's a good friend. He was taught airplane mechanics by Dave Dairu. He was a Chinese guy. He had already known Jesus, and he would look at me sometimes, and he'd go, "Look how stupid these people are," and I go, "They're not stupid. They don't know. They've never been taught anything different. You practice what you're taught, Pastor Dan. You're in Africa. They're just taught that, right? Yeah, and." And how will they know? And we not even mention the influence of Satan and the world around that bother us and hinder us and don't want us to know. Okay? How will a person know and receive this wonderful gift, this gift of eternal life? It is from you and I sharing the words. Timothy Keller passed away. Really liked that guy. They called him the whimsical witness. If we could all learn how to be whimsical witnesses, the world is ready to hear that kind of witness. The nice sharing because they care for somebody else. Sharing with people one person at a time, sometimes even apologizing for when the church has hurt people by our poor ways, by our lack of love. Sharing the gospel is the heart of missions and evangelism. Evangelism is done everywhere, truly. I'm talking today in the traditional sense of missions, okay? Cross-cultural missions, going to another country, to another people, to those who are not like us. This is the one we're looking at today. Where does missions start? It's a willingness to go to a people not your own. And in seeing the need of the people around us and hearing the call, we hear, who will go? Okay. So we hear the call, who will go? Who will go? Y'all know, there's a little Texas drawl there. The great scriptures that we use for the Great Commission, right? You know them all? Matthew 28:16-20. You will be my witnesses and go make disciples, okay? Acts 1:7-8, and you shall be my witnesses in here, there, and everywhere, okay? New translation. The Old Testament has them too. Abraham was called by God, and remember what he said? I will bless you, and you will bless, through you I will bless the world. My wife likes that one. Also, you got Jonah. Jonah, God told him to go. It didn't seem like God's intent when he called Jonah was to have them repent, but it was. And Jonah didn't really want to go because I knew you would do this. I knew you would forgive him. And I don't like those people. Oh, boy. Bummer. And then how about Isaiah? I'm going to do Isaiah. Isaiah 6, 1 to 8. Here's Isaiah, and he's there in worshiping in the temple, and he said, "And I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He was up there, and the heavenly beings." I have to, my translation, my memory work in English is all shot. With three languages, it's all shot. So new translation. The heavenly beings are up there, and they're crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the earth shook, and it trembled, and he goes, "I am in big trouble." Oh, that's a new translation. "I am in big trouble because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and I have seen the Lord of glory. I am in big trouble." And then God immediately took the coal and forgave his sins. He said, "I have forgiven you. I have forgiven you." You know, we are people that are sinners. We all start out this way. I live that way. You live that way. And our eyes have understood and seen God. And it's only God who can cleanse the soul. We're all unclean people in an unclean world. In Hakka, I keep reminding a friend who gets troubled by, you know, we got these people, they come Christians and they still have these bad habits and they pester each other and they bother each other. "Well, what about it?" And I said, "You know, we're all flawed people." We're all sinners. But in Chinese, flawed. We got issues. And God comes and heals us. You know the song, right? "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." When God cleanses us, we come unto Him. And then God called out to Isaiah and said, "Who will go? Who will I send? Who will go?" And he said, "Here am I, send me." This is the call of God to His children, near and far, for ministry here and there. Who will I send and who will go? He uses His children to take the message to the world. Yeah, he could do it all on his own. It's great when I hear of messages of Muslims who have visions of Jesus. Wow. But for the average one of you and I, we are the ones that we go out and share Jesus. The world around us is lost and needs Jesus. Near and far to hear the message. Once I heard the song, Field of Souls. Do you know that one? "We reap the field of souls together, you and I." Okay, look it up. Field of Souls. And he talks about some are doing it here and some are doing it there. And some hold a neighbor's hand and some go overseas. And some do it this way and some do it that way. And we all do it. All do it to go. My wife and I, heard the call of God to help those we did not know, we didn't understand, in a faraway place. Who will go? Yeah, we got there one time. People said, "Did you know what you were getting into?" Not really. I mean, we knew it had typhoons and monsoons and all this other stuff. Did you really understand all this? No. No. But we were willing. Who will go? Who will I send? Lord, could we go? Can you send us? In Ohio, I would get in trouble with our church, a young church. They didn't know a lot of our missionaries, and I'd talk about them. And they go, "Pastor, you know all these ones." I said, "Yeah, I knew Jim Erickson. We played baseball together, and I know that one, and I know that one." And they go, "Well, we didn't grow up here." I said, "Well, you've been Lutheran brother too long to use that excuse anymore." So I'd get in trouble. And so we'd support it, and we were praying for the Norvitz that somebody would be moved, that the Lord would move their hearts to go and help there. You know, prayer is a dangerous thing, because sometimes God looks at you and says, "How about you? How about you? Unless you put stipulations, move somebody, but not me or my family." Okay, we can do that, by the way. It doesn't work very well. And it was my wife that, after a mission conference, said, "Maybe we could go." She knew my heart was ready, I believe, anytime. I didn't know where I would be. I said, "Lord, I'll go where you want me to go." Why? Why that time there? A place. Because it's a place with fewer opportunities to hear the Word of God. 35 plus years, Lord willing. Mission starts here. The call. Who will go? Who will I send? God calls to go. Why? This will be on the test, by the way. I had a teacher in college. If he said it three times, it's on the test. And Pastor Dan, you can check the test later on. Okay, so they can hear and understand and be moved and believe. That way. Separate those out a little bit. In Haka ministry, you have to separate believing and baptism and getting rid of your idols. And, okay, if you clump them all together, they just say, that's too much. I can't do that. The call. And then it becomes personal. Okay, I'm willing to go. Am I able to go? We look at our ability. And this is not an easy part. I call this the scary part. The scary part. Not everyone should go. We used to joke in seminary. Did they ever joke in seminary about it? Those who can't be a preacher should be a teacher. And those who can't be teachers should go on the mission field. You know, because you just... That's not how it works. Actually, the early church sent their brightest and their best. I'm not claiming to be the brightest and the best. I was just willing. Okay, so here we go. Can we go? So we wrote letters to ask about what might this person, next person do. We were finding out information that could make our best choice. My dad taught me that. Find out your options and then choose from that. A and B. There's no C. A or B, and you want A or B. Okay? So we were checking all these things out. We wrote letters. They told us what might happen, what the next person might do. We heard the call. We said, I can do those things. I just have to learn another language and culture. Ha! Okay, that's the hard part, by the way. The one thing we would often say is that the things we thought we were going to do for 35 years in Taiwan were not the things we ended up doing, especially the last 20 years in Taiwan. Wow. I thought, oh, easy, huh? But there's still fear. Is my ability enough? Now, I studied German in college to get out of college. I thought, I'm going to be a pastor, and it's good if I want to go on to graduate school, then I should learn German, because that's the language of the Lutherans, okay? And, I got 65s and 60s and 50s. I'd come home, and my mom, you know, all know she was a great prayer warrior, which she was. And she'd go, how'd you do? I said, not too good. Oh, my prayers have problems. I said, no, I don't think it's your prayers. I think it's up here. With me. Okay. We were at a mission conference the year that after where my wife, it was after that one that my wife said maybe we could go. We were listening to Bob Overgaard talk about the disciples in the boat, and the boat is all getting swamped on the sea, and Jesus comes walking by in the midst of the storm, and what does he, you know, what happens? And they go, ooh, it looks like a ghost. And Peter goes, oh, is that you, Jesus? He said, yes, if it's you, tell me to come to you. Now, that's really smart. And if it's you, tell me to come to you. And he says, come on. And Peter gets out of the boat. Now, we complain about the 11 because they didn't have faith. We complain that Peter, when he sunk, didn't have faith. But the 11 didn't get out of the boat, by the way. Just Peter. He gets out and does what he knows he can't do. And he's doing fine as long as he's staring at Jesus. And when he looks at himself and goes, I can't do this. Well, obviously, down he goes. The point is, if Jesus calls you to do something, he'll give you the ability. Jesus calls us. He called us to live in Taiwan, to learn a language, to learn songs, to practice storytelling. The greatest, to love, to give us love and patience and endurance. Many times I prayed, Lord, just let us see Hakkas come. They're not as easy, even when you use the good mission paradigms and theories. It's still slow. I said, Lord, just let us see people come one by one, here and there and everywhere. Because if there's nobody, I'm not going to endure. So God did this. Jesus called us, and the Holy Spirit encouraged us 35 years so people could hear and discuss and see Jesus in us. But we always remembered it's the Holy Spirit's work in people's lives. It is not our work. The only one who can change the hearts of men is the Holy Spirit. Even the greatest among us, and I'm not the greatest, cannot change the heart of man. It's only the Holy Spirit who can change the heart from hard to soft. Can open the eyes to see, can make the unwilling willing, can bring a person from unbelief to belief. We're only the tools. Like the book we're all kind of promoting in Lutheran Brethren by Greg Finke, with Jesus on the Mission. I like it. I'm reading the book because I need to know the things. But somebody told my wife in Staten Island, you don't need to read the book, okay? So we're just the tools. Jesus does the heavy lifting. We're just following his leading and going where he leads, where you live. And it might be for you here, and for us it was abroad, but now it's back here. Now it's back here. And where is God calling you? And he uses us to share with people who cannot understand the gospel. Why use people? So people will hear and understand, be moved, and believe. Our goal was to give people the opportunity to hear the gospel. Back to Romans, where we started. Back to Romans. This was the goal of the Apostle Paul. You read Acts. I've been reading through Acts again. I'm supposed to be a Bible camp speaker in Canada. Got to speak 8 times. I've never been a speaker like that. 8 times. It scares me. Maybe you should come with me, and if I falter, you can take over. I say, hey, yeah, you go. All right. Here we are. Apostle Paul, anytime, any place, anyone, he was willing to talk about Jesus. He used Bible stories, he taught doctrine, he used the Jews, he used history with others, he would do philosophy, historical things, he wanted to share it. Why? Because the power of God changes hearts. Romans 1:16. Wow. That is what we did, and we will do even in America. That's our goal. My wife, if you think, you know, pastors never retire, they just don't get paid for it. Okay, missionaries, they don't come home and don't do things either. So this is what we're here. But in the early days, it was the joy of having the Holy Spirit use different people to equip us for ministry, to know how to use the Hakka culture, to know how to share Jesus with those around, to know what phrase will work. Tian sen nin, tian zhong nin. Okay, we're all come from heaven. We're all raised by heaven. So we need to know who this heaven is. It's the Almighty God. Learn how to share Hakka and use the gospel in Hakka. Be clear, be simple. Do you realize how much of our Christianity is an expression of an American Christianity? How much it is from our background? What is the pure part here that transfers over to every culture? Okay. We Scandinavian Lutherans, you know, for instance, we pray like this. This is humility, right? Okay, Latin American, how do you worship? Woo! Whoa, okay, that's different. Both are there. So how do you share it? And so we had a language teacher, and who is still not a believer. Her name is Jamie. Pray for her. We're good friends, and she taught us language so we could use the Hakka language. The Hakka TV asked her, why'd you do that, knowing they're trying to convert people? She said, I want them to be able to speak Hakka the best they could. Well, thanks you, Jesus. We have fellow co-workers, Pastor Zen, who learned, taught us with phrases and words and examples. Pastor Pham was the one who first introduced Hakka prayers to me that we would use with people and say, you have trouble sleeping? Here's a prayer. You know, the Heavenly Father, he wants to answer you. Can't run down to the temple tonight, okay? You can do it right here in the Heavenly Father who looks over you. He can answer you. And you open that door for them to see the real God. Okay, Pastor Pham and Pastor Chen with Hakka songs, both traditional ones and modern ones and different ones and all kinds of things. Thankful for the brothers and sisters who partnered with us in each location. The work does not happen alone. Together we are on this journey. We're on this road to heaven, and we invite others, come on to the road. Come with us. Come over here. What you're looking for, we got. And then they have questions. You go, okay, let's try to answer them. And if you can't answer the question, you go, bring them to Pastor Dan. He'll answer everybody's question, okay? And if Pastor Dan, I remember getting stuck on one, so I wrote to Gene Bowl. I said, yo, okay, you got to bail me out. Point is, we're all on this road together. It's not me. Together, we're all sharing one with another. And the common person, people trust the common person. They don't trust pastors, evangelists, because we get paid. You have a better chance to share Jesus than we do on the average thing. We almost keep it a secret until they have to. You have to tell them, well, I'm really a pastor. Okay. People out there learning to do stuff, tell stories, enjoy music. They need love. They're hurting. They're confused. They're discouraged. And you and I are privileged to love people unconditionally. But the task was done together. You know, it's really fun when it starts with a friend said, come here, can you come with me to share with my family member or friend? And then they're alone, and now we have joined them. And when they feel comfortable, then we bring some other friends. And so my friends become your friends, become everybody's friends. And everybody that tells the story and their faith journey, I got that from Pastor Warren Garrity. Warren Garrity, my classmate, he says to people, tell me your faith journey. What a wonderful way to start a conversation. I'm going to use that as I get going. Yeah, 35 years, 40 years in the ministry, I'm still learning stuff. Tell me your faith journey. And then you can share, and everybody can share. And my friends sharing Jesus, and they answer questions in a better way than I could even do. Why? Why? So they may hear, understand, be moved, and believe. Because all of my friends, the ones I knew, and the ones I keep praying for in Taiwan when I go to sleep at night, they are precious souls. Precious souls. Eternal souls that God wants to bring into the family of God. So today, whether you're here or abroad, God uses you and I, and the testimony goes on. Marvelous journey. What a journey. I call it a journey. Now we had a second journey in America. We'll figure this one out. I got a little bellyache recently from... That's no lie. It's just, I'm irritated. Pray for my... I've never been that nervous as thinking about buying a house. Not moving home. That's no problem. Yeah, it is. I don't know. We are thankful for our journey, for the years. However, in the end, I just want you to know, in the end, we're just all servants of God. Unworthy servants. On that day, I'm an unworthy servant. I just did what you called me to do. You do what you're called to do. It's for your love and your grace and your gospel that we live on this earth to share with others. A long time ago, it seemed like a long time ago, about 40 years ago, when I was ordained in Ohio, and my sister Sherry sang the song by Evie. You know the song? It says, all the glory must go to the Lord. Only He is worthy all our praise. No one on earth should give glory to Himself. For all the glory must go to the Lord. Everything we do, is that the Lord will receive glory and the world will be blessed. Just as we are blessed. Heavenly Father, touch our hearts, guide us, and care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. My wife's coming up for a minute. Not yet. Sorry, they didn't tell you that. Yes, you're coming up. No, Charlene was. She's so such a capable person. And it was really fun to worship with you today. I was blessed by it. And I hope my wife was blessed by the music because she's had to listen to this message for a while. Okay, we're going to turn this on here and share a little bit real quick, and then we know how to do this quick, I believe.
We are really grateful to be here to say thank you to all of you who have been supporting and praying for us as we have ministered in Taiwan. The Church of the Lutheran Brethren is a disciple-making church. And that's where they started. As soon as they began as a church body, they sent out missionaries. Mike and I have been very privileged to have spent 35 years in Taiwan being your representatives and making disciples among those in Taiwan.
The goal of the Church of Lutheran Brethren, as Doris said, is to make disciples. I was with an elder. I was listening to an elder in Taiwan. He said, we are not making believers. The distinction is we're making disciples, people who are walking the rest of their life with Jesus. And if it's just believers, as soon as they say the prayer, you go, I'm done. It's not that. It's discipleship for Jesus. You know where our missions are. We are so privileged to travel for the Lutheran Brethren International Mission in places because we are your mission. We are your mission, and we are thankful. And we have Taiwan, Japan, Chad. Cameroon is in parentheses only because we don't have missionaries on the ground. But we should remember to pray for our sister church there, going where people need to hear the Word of God.
Currently, there are two families in Taiwan. Ethan and Sandy Christopherson live in a small town called Chunglin. They work in partnership with Enling Lutheran Brethren Church. Ethan also does research to try to answer the questions. Why is it that people are not coming to know the Lord? Why is it that they're not becoming believers in Taiwan? Ben and Sarah Hosh are another family with their five kids. They live in Taichung in Taiwan. They are close to a university, and so they often are asked to do campus ministry, but their real heart, what they really want to do is reach out to the families in that area that they're living, especially families with small children. Mike and I are still considered LBIM missionaries until we go off staff at the end of September.
When you think of Taiwan compared to Africa, you have these tribes, you have these people groups that have no witness, no church, no Bible, nothing. Well, Taiwan has a church. We have a national church, but why are we still there? Because as a mission, we are not there to act like local pastors. We are there to help churches, to partner with them, to push the evangelism element out farther for the church. That's our goal. And as Laura said, one of our things is we want to try to help the church to answer questions or deal with issues that they have yet to work with for people. So there's always something new coming up, and that's our goal as we partner.
Part of what we did in Taiwan was, yes, we first learned the Hakka language and then later learned the Mandarin language. We wanted to understand not only the language but the culture in order that we were able to answer their questions so that they can hear and understand about Christianity. The church in Taiwan is self-supporting and they are on their own. I mean, we don't have to do that, but what we do as missionaries is help them to reach out into their communities.
We especially work with the Hakka 2.4 million who have a lower percentage of believers. What does it look like? I was searching for my word earlier. What method do you use? What is your platform? That's the new thing, the new word today, platform. I have to learn a whole new vocabulary coming back to America. Okay. How do you intentionally live among people looking and expecting to have regular opportunities to share? What does it mean? And, you know, we could talk about the meetings and things like we did in Sunday school, and we're welcome to talk more after when we eat. I will sacrifice eating to talk with you. I'd gladly do that. But we want to learn about attitudes and certain ways that are helpful, okay?
What we really want to do is enter their culture. And that is why we learned the language and we spent time with our language helper. We spent time with other people understanding what is it that your family life looks like? What is it that is your culture? We did not want to bring people to know Jesus in an American way. We want them to understand that they can be Hakka Christians. They can be Christian in their own culture. They can worship in their own language.
So one of the things about it is contextualizing, and where you help them to use what is their slang, what is their words, what are their ways to express it in daily life. On TV, many times people, I'd be on Hakka TV, and the host would say, give us two bits of wisdom. And I'd say, first of all, remember your mother tongue. Remember your mother tongue. And then second, I'd say, you can be a Hakka Christian. So we want them to be able to worship in a way that feels like them, that has their music, their stories, their things. I'm just stumped right now. It's all gone. Okay.
Without words.
Yeah, bummer. Let them go and do it in their language so it feels like that. I know where I was heading. The younger kids would go to college, become a Christian, and then they come back to their folks and their grandparents, and they go, "This is not us. This is a foreign thing. Why? Because it doesn't feel like them. It isn't expressed like them. It's in Mandarin. They understand. They go, "It's not us. It's foreign." Now, so help them to enter in. And we go way into there. If they're on the right and we're on the left, we're going way into them and we're being uncomfortable in their culture so they can be more comfortable and go, I could do this. Okay.
What we really did was a lot with friendship evangelism. We became friends with people. We wanted to start a relationship so that we would be able to understand what their needs were, what their questions are, and what was it that we could do to help them understand what Christianity is. Oftentimes we were asked, why are you in Taiwan? And yes, we would honestly say, we are working with the church. Well, what is that all about? But it's helping them understand that we are living Christianity among them. So when they have questions, what is it that we can bring to them to help break down the barriers that are holding them back from believing in Jesus?
And how long are you going to be their friend?
I will be their friend as long as it takes. There are some people who figure, well, okay, you ask a few questions, I give you all of the answers that you want, or you should, it should make sense by now. And if it doesn't, well, then I'm not your friend. But that's not the way we really work as Christians. We are their friend, and we continue to help them understand what it is that Jesus wants to do for them.
One of the things we enjoy doing was storytelling. There's a lot of books on storytelling. People are not, they don't get anxious when you tell stories. They really like that. So you bring Bible stories and other illustrations, but especially Bible stories. The common person just really loves that. Just tell the story. I remember telling a little grandma who was already a believer, but we were visiting her son, one of her four sons who wasn't, and we had been with him, and we went down to see the grandma, and we were down there singing the song about the prodigal son, and we told the story about the prodigal son, and she turns to her son and goes, that was a good story. Okay, let the story tell it. Let the story tell it, and people are willing to do that.
Oftentimes, as we're working with people or just being around, as Mike said, what are the needs of people? And oftentimes we would ask if we could pray for them, pray for their health, pray for the situation, kids going to school, wanting to test into a better college, wanting to know what profession they were going to have, people in the hospital, they're sick. Can we ask our God to care for you? One time they would say, well, why would your God listen to me? I'm not a believer. But God hears all prayers. It doesn't matter. And it was things that we did with prayer that would touch people and think, wow, your God really wants to care for me? So even when they weren't yet believers, they would let us pray for them, for health or for peace, and most of all, just know that God does love them.
Another way, as you know, we're musical, or at least my wife, she joined in and had to become the band and got really busy. But music, people aren't afraid of music either. They like that. And we'd be in a park or in front of somebody's house. The upper right-hand corner, that's in Pastor Wynn before they moved to Africa. That's in his street that we just sat on the street. It was a cul-de-sac kind of thing, so we weren't going to get hit. And sang songs for a couple hours with people. Let the words of the song speak the message. I don't have to preach that day. Just share, and everybody gets to be friends. And they'll take the words home. We'd pass out the words on papers, let them go home with that, and mull it over and think about what Jesus wants to do for them.
What were we doing? We're trying to help them to hear the good news, help them to understand what Jesus has done for them, and pray that the Holy Spirit would move them and bring them to belief. Sometimes it took a really long time. For some of our friends, it was 18 years. For some, for one gentleman, it was a matter of a week, and he decided, yes, I want to become a believer.
Amen. Amen.
This is what we did.
We're going to reminisce. How do you package up 35 years? It's really tough. You know, there's no reason God used us and wanted to use us there. And with the group that we were with, you know, I often say, I don't care if I'm in the beginning or the middle or the end of a person's faith journey to come to Jesus. I don't care, and I don't keep track, and I don't count. People that start counting how many they brought to Jesus get a little manipulative, and they do funny things. Or they change the gospel to make it more palatable. But we're just sharing Jesus with people, and we were privileged to do that. We're going to share a couple examples, a couple stories for you.
Mrs. Baum is one of our good friends that we knew for many, many years. Her daughter was a Christian, and her daughter attended church regularly at our Victory Haka Fellowship. At the last Saturday of the month is the day that we would have testimonies. We would share communion together, and we had a potluck. Everybody liked when Mrs. Baum brought her pumpkin soup. It was one of the favorites on the menu. Mrs. Baum was one that always seemed a little cool at the beginning of our friendship. She said, I know what I believe, and I'm comfortable with that. And yet, the more we got to be her friend, she realized, yes, there was a difference in us. During the time of COVID, when she was with her, or she wanted to be with her other friends who were Buddhists, they all were very, very cautious, and they didn't get together. They didn't want to spend time together. And yet, our team of ladies that would go visiting with us, we would still go visit her. We wore masks, we followed the regulations and the rules, but it was something that it touched her heart because she realized we were not afraid. We were being cautious because of COVID, but we were not afraid to spend time with her. And at one point, she realized, all of my Buddhist friends have forgotten me. No one has taken an interest in how I'm doing or asking, how am I? And yet the Christians were, and so she decided that she would become a believer, and she was baptized. As it got closer to the time for Mike and I to leave Taiwan, one of her daughters, first of all, she kept it quiet. She didn't really want to tell the one daughter she had been baptized because she didn't want everybody to know right away. And yet the same daughter was looking at her and said, you know, Pastor Mike is going to leave. Don't you want to be baptized before he leaves Taiwan? And Mom smiles at her and says, I already have been baptized.
Yeah. She's so cute. Wonderful lady. Another one was Pastor Jung's mother. He always felt bad that he didn't lead his folks to Jesus. And we'd go up to Taipei often in those days and share with her. And her mom was kind of cordial and cool, but she didn't really show interest. It was again during COVID. But the bigger problem was she had to come down to Hsinchu. She couldn't go do the stairs in her house anymore, so she came down to live with her son. She had to have some back surgery and take care of a problem. So at that time, we were meeting in the park because we weren't allowed to have small groups in the church. So we found our own place in the park, little amphitheater seating, and he would push her down there and park her there. Actually, he couldn't just park her there. He had to sit next to her so she could make friends. And we would do our thing. We were doing baptism class in the park, by the way, and also introducing some others that were really new to Christianity. What is Christianity? What is the Christian faith? She's sharing. And so then if she got a little more familiar, then he could just park her there and come and get her. And then we got back in the building. Well, now it's the building. The building has problems. So he had to sit there. And then later, after she got more comfortable with being there, then he could drop her off because he had work to do. He is pastoring another church. And she'd go downstairs and wait in the lobby for either Pastor Jung to pick her up or her grandson, and then the ladies would go down. They'd have a ladies' meeting down in the entry, and they just had a wonderful time. We also had the joy of helping with a couple of her needs. Her son prepared this place to sleep, and she's going to fall off on the floor. It was an L-shaped couch, and I mean, okay, we took care of that for her, and she just saw our love and our care, and she understood. And after one of the ladies said, I regret waiting too long. I waited too long to come to Jesus. And she and a couple other ladies, these other ones, said, I should believe. And she came to Jesus. What a joy that was to share with them. Because before that in communion, when we passed out communion, I followed the one who's serving and I blessed those who couldn't take communion. That was my habit. I always go down and bless the kids and bless all the adults. And 2 weeks later after baptism, I was able to give her communion. And we had a different new lady, and I got to bless her. But what a joy to see people progress in the gospel. Have a few prayer requests.
We are thankful for the Chinese Lutheran Brethren Church in Taiwan. There are 19 churches there, and they are very strong in what they do. We continue to pray for them as they are a disciple-making church as well. They have sent their first missionary to Chad. Nancy and Daniel Wynn. We are also praying for another couple, David and Janice, who would like to go. Janice has an issue with some cancer, so they're trying to work on that before they can go. We are continuing to pray for the Victory Haka Fellowship. They are able to do what we were doing with them, but sometimes they're not as bold in their visiting, so we continue to pray for them that they would be bold in sharing their faith with those around them.
Amen. Please be praying for our missionaries in Taiwan and in the world. Pray for the Christofferson. Ethan, he would like to do a major research project. You know how long those take? If he doesn't get going, you pray that he'll just really get the time. He's not going to get done, okay? So just pray for him on that, because it'll be a really real blessing to the church. And pray for the Hoshes as they get acclimated in their town and do different things there, and that they will really reach out. And pray for a new missionary for Taiwan.
Yes.
That they would go. This is our email, which might disappear.
The phone number will be the same.
If you need us, talk to Dan. And but don't just call up and say you with don't.
Do you know who I am?
You know who I am? That doesn't work anymore. We've been traveling for 3 months or a long time now. So pray for that.
5 weeks.
5 weeks. 5 weeks. Okay. And we wanted to say thank you.
Thank you.
For supporting.
For all of your prayers and your support of the ministry in Taiwan.
It has been our privilege to represent you, to bring the gospel to Taiwan. And it is no small thing to support someone for 35 years. Thank you very much.